All right. Well, let's pray and we will get to it. Father, we start a session on prayer, praying to you. And so, God, we ask that you would just open our eyes and our hearts to see the value and the priority that prayer should be. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. God, we recognize that each one of us in this room are worthless, disgusting sinners, and we don't deserve to speak your name, let alone commune with you. And so, God, we just praise you this morning for your goodness and your grace and your mercy to allow us to pray. And God, we are all in this room. My guess is because we know that this is an area that we not only value, but one we want to grow in. And so, God, cause that to happen today, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So the role of prayer in parenting. So we're going to talk a little bit about prayer, and then we're also going to spend some time in prayer. So my goal for this seminar is twofold. One, I want us to cover why pray. Why do I need to pray? Why should that be a priority for me? And then talk specifically about how. How can my prayer life be more regular? How can my prayer life be expanded, like the content of my prayers? So first, why pray? And you see, I've given you lots of lovely blanks because I love blanks. The first one, prayer helps us know God and rely on him. And this is essential no matter the circumstance. So a lot of what I'm going to say, so ignore this whole table over here. This was from my last session. This is the prayer resource table here that you can come and look at later, but we'll talk about them as we go. And a lot of what I'm going to say in this first part, this why, comes from this book, which I left the cover in my office. So you have no idea this is not helpful to you because you can't really know what it looks like. But it's called Prayer, and it's by Timothy Keller. So apologize for not having the cover. I'm a little, side note, I'm a little OCD about my books. And so, like, if I take a book out of my office, I have to leave the dust cover in the spot where it was because it's all in alphabetical order and I don't want it to get bent. Okay, we'll go on. And Wayne, so I'll tell you about our pastors here. This is totally not on the list, but Darren will come in and specifically move all the books on my shelf. That's evil. Number two, huh? I'm recording. Okay, number two, Wayne has actually known this about me and he has ripped, intentionally ripped a dust cover of one of my books. Thank you. I know, right? Mm-hmm. And then I took it from his office and replaced it. No. Anyway, sorry, I won't go on any more tangents. Maybe. Prayer helps us know and rely on God. One of the things that Tim Keller said in his book, and I love this. Did I give you this quote? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, here it is. He says, without this powerful sense of God's reality, good circumstances can lead to overconfidence and spiritual indifference. Who needs God? Our hearts would conclude when matters seem to be so in hand. Then again, without this enlightened heart, bad circumstances can lead to discouragement and despair because the love of God would be an abstraction rather than the infinitely consoling presence it should be. Therefore, knowing God is what we must have above all if we are to face life in any circumstances. So, in a nutshell, when we pray rightly, when we pray reminding ourselves and communicating to God who he is, that to me is one of the most important elements of prayer is, God, you are holy. God, you are righteous. God, you are loving. God, you are good. That ascribes worship to him, but it also reminds my own heart of who he is. That allows me to know him better and to rely on him. In this quote, the main thrust there is relying on him in the good circumstances and in the bad circumstances. If we're not praying, then when things seem to be going all right, we get kind of puffed up or think that we're doing a great job. When things go bad, we stress out, lose sleep because we need to fix it. It's up to us. And both of these are our wrong ways of thinking and miss out on the sovereignty and goodness of God. So if your prayer life isn't causing you to know God better, then you're either not doing it enough or doing it wrong. You're not rehearsing the names and attributes of God. So to me, let me just say, out of all the sessions in this whole conference, not just because I'm doing this one, but because I personally know the need of it, and I know how I'm not an expert parent, I think this is the most important session of this entire conference because I need this. If I'm not a praying parent, I'm failing. And so just understanding the gift of God's grace that prayer is. Number two, prayer is a unique gift. I think it was in this book too. He quotes Moses in Deuteronomy 4:7 when Moses says, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? So when I say it's a unique gift, like God, I kind of prayed it in my opening prayer because it's just been on my heart a lot this week, but God allows us to commune with him and how unique that is and what a gift that is. I don't deserve that. I'm not entitled to it. It's a gift. And if I understand the gift that it is, that causes me to want to do it more. My own heart, just to be honest with you, when I am prayerless, it's because I forget what a gift it is that I get to talk to Holy God. I, sinful me, get to talk to him. Like, what? That's insane. That's so awesome. Number three, he takes it even a step further in this book. It is a sin not to pray. And when he takes it a step further, that's because scripture takes it a step further. 1 Samuel 12:23. To fail to pray then is not to merely break some religious rule, he says. It is a failure to treat God as God. It is a sin against his glory. So yes, I don't pray because I'm lazy, but even digging deeper than that laziness, if I'm not praying, that's because I'm relying on myself and I'm proud, really, is the nutshell there. Or I have a lack of understanding of how sovereign and good God is. So either of those is a sinful way of viewing ourselves and viewing God. Number four, prayer is a refuge and helps us endure. Prayer is a refuge and helps us endure. I love Psalm 138, the first three verses. David says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. So he's a refuge, and he's we know that. He says, I called and you answered. His name is so exalted, David said in this psalm. And it's like, I picture that as being like, he's exalted over all things, it says. And so that's kind of that umbrella that everything else kind of just takes refuge underneath. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful picture. And how many of us as parents have needed to go to God as our refuge, right? And hide underneath the shadow of his almighty hands. And endure, prayer allows us to endure. It gives us the strength of soul that the psalmist said in these verses. Good. Number five, prayer clears our vision and helps us see with an eternal perspective. This is so, so true. If I'm not praying, my vision, I see things wrong, right? I mean, like my sin, my flesh, like, I am not, Sarah says something to me and I can just take it the complete wrong way. And like, it's because I'm not, my vision is being clouded. And how I build into my kids, Spencer was so good this morning. I loved what he had to share. And I think, he was saying about like, we're discipling our kids all the time, whether or to God or to the things of this world. Same thing like worship. We're teaching our kids about worship and our dependency on God and our esteem for who he is by everything that we say, everything that we do. And prayer helps us to have an eternal perspective. And that, to me, is the most important thing about parenting and how we view our parenting, is having that eternal perspective. I'm building into my kids for eternity. I'm not building into my kids just to survive this day because they're really driving me nuts or any other reason. I'm building into them. What I do today, what I do in the next 10 minutes is either building into them for eternity or drawing them to the things of the world, to the things of the flesh of today. An eternal mindset totally changes our priorities, right? Like, yes, the laundry needs to get done. Yes, the dishes need to be cleaned, all of this stuff. But, nothing I say in this session is like, we are the perfect parents by any stretch of imagination, because we're fully aware that we're not. But one of the things that, like, the laundry and the dishes, those are two things that usually get done after the kids go to bed. We haven't really talked about this intentionally, but I think part of the reason is because of that eternal mindset. We're going to build into the kids while they're awake, and when they're asleep, then we can tend to the things that need to be tended. It's not a call to be reckless and let laundry pile up, because that would drive me nuts. But it's what is eternal and what is our priority. Okay. All right. How can I grow as a praying parent? Number one, study about prayer. Did I give you blanks there too? Oh, yes. Study about prayer. A lot of great resources available. I think I listed three in your notes. This book, Prayer, that you don't see the cover, by Tim Keller, that I've been like cuddling the whole time I've been talking. Sorry. You noticed that? And then this one is kind of a classic of Christian faith, A Praying Life, Paul E. Miller, and then John Piper's A Hunger for God. This one's about fasting and prayer, but both great resources just to help us understand more of what prayer is and the importance of it. So I encourage you as you to study about prayer by reading books, listening to sermons, podcasts, even classes from seminaries that are available online or whatever about prayer. Because the more that you know about prayer, the more you are convinced about three things. The more you're convinced of your need of prayer, the more you study about prayer, the more you're convinced of its power. And the more you know about prayer, the more ways you know what to do or how to pray. Okay? So those are the three resources. Obviously, there's hundreds of others, but those would be the top three I'd suggest. Number two, a very practical one. How can I grow as a praying parent? Number two, pray your thoughts. That's a weird thing to say, probably. But what I mean by this is so many of us get caught up in our heads throughout the day, and we just start to think, and we start to, and that thinking leads to worry, or that thinking leads to, I've got to do this, I'm in control. But the more that I can turn in what I'm thinking about, what I'm worrying about, the more that I can turn that actually into prayer, rather than, so I'm thinking something, that means I'm talking to myself. But if I can change that thinking about whatever it is into a prayer, that the more aware I am of God's presence and involvement in the day-to-day things in my life. Does that make sense? Like, so if I've got a teenager and I'm worried about their friends, I can stress out and I can be like, okay, I've got to make sure I've got this rule in place, I've got to do, you know, and you just, but then rather than doing all of that stuff, if I can just think, okay, God, help me. Is this wise? Is rather than talking to myself, talking about God, because that may sound like a semantics thing, but it's not. Like, I'm not just parsing words here. It's a real mindset and a heart change to whether me talking to me or me talking to God. And I found this to be so helpful. It doesn't mean that you lock yourself in a room all day away from your kids because you're praying or you're talking to God about them. But it means while you're walking, while you're pushing the cart through the grocery store or whatever it is, you are communing with God because He cares. He's there, and prayer is powerful. Again, that helps me change the perspective of what I'm praying about. It changes it from being my control to being His control. Number three, third thing I would say, and we're going to do this a couple of times in this seminar, is pray the prayers of others. Pray the prayers of others. The next couple things, I'll share this kind of thing in line, but if I just pray what's in my heart and my mind, I am, how do I say it? I'm pretty shallow and pretty stupid, and so I need other influences to broaden what I need to pray and how I should pray. And so I've listed three/four resources about praying the prayers of others. This one, if you know me at all, you know I'm obsessed with this book. I think this is the most important book every Christian should have next to the Bible. It's called The Valley of Vision, and it's just a collection of old Puritan prayers. And the thing that I love about this is that there's a broad spectrum of things to pray for, but so much of this that I pray, I would never pray or think of to pray if it wasn't for reading the prayers of other people. And I commend, there was some point, maybe it's still relevant or maybe it's still a problem today, but like 5 or 10 years ago, I feel like there was kind of this like, well, no, it's inauthentic if I use anybody else's prayers but mine, you know, but no, it makes my prayer life so much more fruitful. And actually, it draws things out of my heart that I don't even realize are there, if that makes any sense. That sounds a little too woo-hoo, but I don't mean it to be. This is also another great collection of prayers, At the Throne of Grace by Don MacArthur. I've used this not too long ago in corporate worship. And then these two are also good. These are specifically more prayers of confession, which is something that I think we all can pray more for, Prone to Wander and Streams of Mercy, both by the same author. And it's just a collection of different prayers to help us confess our sins more fully and more thoughtfully. So those are the three that I would recommend the most. One thing, I think I listed it there. One of the prayers is called The Family. From the Valley of Vision. I put it in your notes there. So let's just read that a minute. I'll read it to you. And just think about this as a prayer, and then we'll talk about some things in it. It says, O Sovereign Lord, Thou art the Creator, Father of all men, for Thou hast made and dost support them. Thou art the special Father of those who know, love, and honor Thee, who find Thy yoke easy and Thy burden light, Thy work honorable, Thy commandments glorious. But how little Thy undeserved goodness has affected me. how many of us have felt that or prayed that but would not express it that way? How imperfectly have I improved my religious privileges? How negligent have I been in doing good to others? I am before thee in my trespasses and sins. Have mercy on me, and may thy goodness bring me to repentance. That's scripture. Help me to hate and forsake every false way, to be attentive to my condition and character, to bridle my tongue, to keep my heart with all diligence, to watch and pray against temptation, to mortify sin, to be concerned for the salvation of others. O God, I cannot endure to see the destruction of my kindred. Family, let those that are united to me in tender ties be precious in thy sight and devoted to thy glory. Sanctify and prosper my domestic devotion, instruction, discipline, example, that my house may be a nursery for heaven, my church the garden of the Lord, enriched with trees of righteousness, of thy planting for thy glory. Let not those of my family who are amiable, moral, attractive, fall short of heaven at last. Grant that the promising appearances of a tender conscience, soft heart, the alarms and delights of thy word be not finally blotted out, but bring forth judgment unto victory in all whom I love. Amen. I love that prayer. I mean, it's just full of things that I would not think of to pray myself. I mean, when was the last time you prayed that your house would be a nursery for heaven and your church a garden of the Lord? I guarantee none of us have prayed that this week, but what a beautiful picture that is. And I love even the example of this prayer. There's kind of three sections to it. It starts off with declaring who God is. Again, like what I was saying earlier, the different names. Oh, sovereign Lord. The fact that he is sovereign and he is Lord is right there in the first three words. He's creator, he's father, he's made everyone, he supports his creation, he's the special father. He talks about who he is and what he's done. And then it moves into man's response to that. In view of how good and how holy God is, then my response is, but how little thy undeserved goodness has affected me. How little has who you are affected me. And that is a woeful prayer. It goes on a little bit more about that. And then it goes into the petition. I am before thee in my trespasses and sins. Have mercy on me. That's the first petition, which is a great first petition for our prayers. Have mercy on me. And then he talks personally about how he needs to grow. And then he talks about his family as well. One of the most beautiful things towards the end there, I think, is praying for those who personality-wise seem kind or even maybe seem godly, have shared some of the attributes of God without actually being saved. So grant that the promising appearances of tender conscience, just because someone is quiet or tender or kind, has a soft heart, that they would not be finally blotted out. So, just a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And I think this is so, so helpful for us to grow in our prayers. So pray the prayers of others. Then number four, pray with someone. Again, when we pray with somebody else, I learn from them, and I don't just always pray the same things over and over again. My prayer life expands when I pray with somebody else. Also, that's a good form of accountability. I will pray if I'm praying with somebody else. And it also allows, if I pray with somebody else, I learn to hear their heart, and I begin to pray what they're praying. I get the focus off of my thing, and I start praying for them and praying for other people. So it allows me to be others focused. And I also know if I truly believe that prayer is powerful, then not only am I praying for their thing, but I know and I trust in the fact that they're praying for my thing too, right? So it's just an awesome thing. And again, we'll spend some time doing that here in just a minute. Number five, pray scripture. Again, we're going to pray things that you normally wouldn't. Praying scripture allows you to retain scripture better. It also helps you to apply scripture better in your life by thinking more deeply about it. And I would just say, like, it doesn't have to be, like, the Psalms are a good one to go to when we think about as terms of being prayers or songs. But turn whatever you're reading into a prayer. I think it doesn't have to be a certain passage. So if you're praying about, what's an example? Anything. I mean, if you're praying in Romans about the gospel, that can turn into prayers of thanksgiving for what the Lord has done in your life. If you're praying in the or reading in the epistles, those are a lot of commands that you can pray that you would emulate. You reading in the Old Testament, prayers of either examples to follow or errors to avoid. Thankful for understanding God's big picture. Even a genealogy. I'm reading Matthew 1 today, so I'm going to read a genealogy, and then I'm going to pray prayers of thanks for how awesome God's plan is, and that He has this, that He is sovereign. Like, whatever it is. I think I just gave one resource here, but this little book by Donald Whitney is so helpful, and it's really teeny and easy. It's accessible. It's easy to read, but it gives you some helpful tips. This could be a whole separate seminar, is praying the Bible, and I highly, highly recommend that to you. If we can turn our Bible reading in, there's nothing better to pray than God's word. So I commend that to you. And then number six, this is where we'll spend the rest of our time, is praying the prompts of others. What I mean by this is so you pray with others, you pray prayers of scripture, but then other people have written down different prompts, and I've got some of these resources here. Again, praying the prompts of others, so that means that they're not giving you exactly every single word like the Valley of Vision would be or At the Throne of Grace would be, but they're just saying, hey, today, why don't you think about praying, we said earlier, for your kids' friends. Pray for that your kids would understand scripture today. Pray, you know, those kinds of things, that's what I mean by prompts. Couple bonuses there. Again, you pray things that you normally wouldn't pray, but then you also, because a lot of those are often schedules, so it kind of keeps you, there's a little bit of accountability there to pray on a more regular basis. The first resource there that I've listed is this little book. I think it just came out, and it's a really helpful, it's called Five Things to Pray for Your Kids, and it's, so like, we'll open this one up. So this one is Five Things to Pray. Praying that God will fill my child with spiritual fruit. Gives you the Galatians 5 passage. And then it gives you five different things to pray underneath that category. So it's not, there are not just five things in this book. There are lots of categories. And each of those categories have five things to pray. It gives you the scripture reference and then something to pray. And I love it because it's so accessible. It's so short. This is 5 minutes of your day. Like, this would be something women keep in your purse, and at lunchtime, or you're sitting in the waiting room at the doctor's office or whatever, pull it out and just read the one for the day or whatever. And then you can have a man bag. I don't know. That works too. Well, let's just finish up a couple things, and we won't make you late for lunch, okay? This book, which I was told is a very ugly cover, but it's a very good book. I highly recommend it. So that's the main part of this book, is pray that God will do this in my child. But then there's also a little section in there, pray that I will. And so as the parents, these are good things to pray for yourself. And then there's just a few at the end, praying for specific situations, praying when your kid is lonely or when they have to make a difficult decision or those kinds of things. So highly recommend it to you. The other two resources, this one just came out, hot off the press. Like, I didn't know if it was going to get here in time. Is the cover better? Yes. Okay. The cover is more to your liking, but this I'm really excited about because it's so new. I haven't read every single thing in it, so don't yell at me if it's terrible. But what I've read of it, I really, really like. And the idea is it's a one-year devotional praying through the Bible for your kids. So this is not to do with your kids. This is for you to do by yourself or with your spouse. And it's, I gave you the last page in your notes is a sample page, the page for today. And I love it because it's short, probably a little too big for your purses, but just keep it at home and either start your day or end your day with it. But, Sarah can fit in her purse. But there's scripture for every day and then a little, just some thoughts. And if you read this for today, I'm like, there are a lot of thoughts in there. And then just a little prayer at the bottom to actually pray for your kids. So I really, 365 days, so there's 365 different things to pray. So I think that that's my biggest need in prayer, is making sure that I'm praying a wide scope of things for our kids. And then the last thing I put on there, just there are some things online available, like calendars to pray for your kids. This one, this Donna Otto, she I think was discipled by Elizabeth Elliot. A couple of little spelling errors on it. That's why I didn't print it out for you. But it's the content's still good. So I commend those things to you. So, all right, I'll close this in prayer then, all right? God, thank you for this time, just to be reminded of the power and the beauty and the gift that prayer is. Thank you for time to be able to pray with one another. God, I pray that that our parenting would be marked by a dependence on you, as evidenced by our prayer lives. God, we're going to mess up. We're not going to do things perfectly, but God, I pray that we would be men and women of prayer that run to you when we mess up, that rely on you in the good times and in the bad times, that we would be constantly pointing our kids to you and that they would grow to be men and women of prayer as well. I thank you for this time. I thank you for the food that we're about to eat, God, and I just pray that you would glorify yourself with the rest of our day, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.